Please turn to Romans chapter 1.
Are you looking at Romans chapter 1?
Romans chapter number 1. We will read together from verse 8 to verse 18.
But
our verse this morning is verse 16. The title of the message is very simple, just as the message is simple this morning. The Gospel of Christ. Romans chapter number
1.
It reads as following. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that someone or somehow by God's will I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far has been prevented. In order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Verse 16 again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, to you and I. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Church, last week I told you a brief summary of what the church has gone through in the past year. The troubles and the challenges we went through. The discouragement and the sufferings we have experienced as the church. And I told you that at times we were almost driven to despair. And in the preaching, Pastor Laka continued to remind us, he continued to tell us that what we suffer today, we are not the only one who suffer this way, and we are not the first one to suffer this way. What is needed is for us to endure suffering in Christ Jesus. So as we look at this text, this verse, especially this verse, verse 16, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, I want you to remember, put that behind your mind, that the man who's writing this is the Apostle Paul, is the man who went through such trouble and experience the challenges that we are suffering today, as he was also aiming to plant a biblical church in his time. As much as Paul had God's favor in his life, as much as that is true, but listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23 to 26. Listen, I'm talking like a madman. We for great labors. Far more imprisonments. With countless beatings. And often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one.
I 39.
3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journey, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people and from the Gentiles. Danger in the city. Danger in the wilderness. Danger in the sea. Danger from false brothers. Paul had so much favor upon him. God loved him. But suffering for the gospel continued to be upon him. So we realize in this verse that Paul is testifying of the ridicule he suffered for the gospel. And when you hear these things, some, when they hear these things, might be ashamed of the gospel. Might be afraid to tell someone of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Might be afraid to tell someone of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Paul, here in the book of Romans, verse 15 says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul is keen to preach the gospel. Even though he had been shamed for the gospel, he still wants to preach the gospel. So as you look at this verse, church, I want you to receive this message as a message of encouragement to hold on to Christ Jesus. A message that encourages you to always come and partake in the glories of God by coming together as a church week by week. Even though you may be shamed for the gospel. So therefore we need to ask ourselves 3 questions of great importance in order for us to understand why we should hold on to the gospel. These questions will help us to be encouraged and hold on to the promises of God. The first question is, why is Paul eager to preach the gospel even though he had been shamed for the gospel? Secondly, what is this gospel which Paul is eager to preach? Thirdly, what does the gospel achieve when preached? So firstly, the reason then now why Paul wants to preach the gospel is that, church, Paul is confident in the gospel. Look at your Bible. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I can be ashamed of everything else. I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of my sin. But when it comes to the gospel, I am not ashamed. I have confidence in the gospel of Christ. Let me tell you why Paul is saying this. In the time of the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter, the unchristian people of the time in Rome, they despised the Church of Jesus Christ. They despised the Jews. They despised Jesus himself. They had little respect for any person who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. They will ridicule anyone who preaches the gospel. They will persecute anyone who comes to them with this news from God. But above all, the Romans, they believed that their military was the most powerful military in the world, so no one could touch them. They were powerful. So no one could tell them that something else has power more than their military. But when Paul came preaching to them, he comes to them and he says, the gospel of God has power more than anything of this world and anything of heaven. Paul says the gospel is a weapon of destruction. Not the military force. Only the gospel has the power to change men's lives. And such power is only found and invested in the gospel, not in the military force. But then the people ridiculed him. But Paul said, the gospel has the power. So when he says here, then I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is saying, I am not intimidated by men for preaching the gospel. I am not disgraced and I am not humiliated by people for preaching the gospel. I cannot be humiliated to the point that I change my message so that it is politically correct because the people want it that way. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am confident in this gospel of Christ. So Paul is bringing a fact here, friends, that he will not trade the gospel with anything else of this world. Paul says, even though the Jews, they demand signs, and the Jews, they demand miracles, and they demand signs, and the Gentiles, they demand or they seek wisdom, I will preach Christ and Him crucified. I do not lack confidence in the gospel of God. And I will not lack confidence in the gospel of God and end up finding myself trusting on anything else outside the gospel entrusted unto me. So Paul is saying, friends, I will not use any strategy to be friends with God. I will not use any strategy to bring any person to commune with God. I only will bring the gospel. No strategies can save men but the gospel. When I preach the gospel, only then God is glorified. I'm confident in the gospel. Only the gospel brings man and God into a relationship. So, church, in order for us as a church then to persevere, in order for you as a person to persevere in this life, in order for us as a church to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, we must hold on to the gospel. As a church, as individual, we need to hold on to the gospel. We need to be confident in the gospel of God. We must rest in the gospel. We must rely in the gospel. We must depend on this gospel. Because church, if we are confident in the gospel as a church, we will then not allow ourselves to think that there is something better than the gospel to come to God. We will not think there is something better than the gospel to save our souls. We will not think there is something better than the gospel to free us from the chains of sin. We will not think there is something better than the gospel to maintain our love for one another and our love for God. Only the gospel gives us these graces of God. Only the gospel, only holding on the gospel, one can persevere in this life. So even though people may look down on us, we need to be confident and be strong in the gospel. We need to always remember that He who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, church, to us, I will preach the gospel. My confidence is in the gospel, not in anything else. My confidence and trust is not misplaced. It is in the gospel. Regardless what I may be going through, I will hold on to the gospel. I find no disgrace in preaching the gospel. I find no shame in belonging to a church that holds on to the gospel of God. I find no problem whatsoever in belonging to a family which stands in the truth of God, a family that trusts only in the gospel. I find no problem. So I'm not sorry for believing the gospel. Because the gospel is the answer to everything. That is why Paul says, I'm confident then in the gospel. Why would Paul say this, church? What happens when someone is ashamed of the gospel? When you are ashamed of the gospel, you begin to trust on other things outside the gospel. When you are ashamed of the gospel, you don't let go of the darkness of this world. You replace the gospel with whatsoever that seems appealing to the ear of men. And as a church, we cannot afford that. Look at these things practically. When a wife is ashamed of a husband, there is a problem there. When the husband is ashamed of the wife, there's a problem there. When children are ashamed of their parents, help is needed there. In the same way, if you are ashamed of the gospel, you are ashamed of Christ. Help is needed there. There is a problem there. To be ashamed of the gospel, to lack confidence in the gospel, to lack confidence in Christ, is to lack trust in Christ. It is to think that you can make it yourself without Christ. Paul says, let us have confidence in the gospel. Let us make the gospel our life. It is easy, church, to lose confidence in the gospel in the place we live. You look around, you realize that it seems that all those who despise the gospel, they prosper. It looks like all those who trust in the gospel, they don't make it in life. It looks like when you trust the gospel, you become stereotyped to the good things of this world. It looks like holding on to the gospel deprives you of the nice life that other people live around. It looks like the gospel controls you. It controls your mind. Looks like it controls your life. It controls your speech. It controls your going in and your going out. It controls your behavior and it controls your character. It seems like you are trapped in a box where by a handful of unhappy people belong. And that can lead you to shun the gospel.
But
Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am confident in the gospel. That is the message we should take as a church as well. Let us continue to hold on to the gospel and preach Christ in our own generation. Why? To be confident in the gospel is to be confident in Christ. That should help us then to hold on to the gospel. But the second question we need to answer. What is then this gospel that Paul is eager to preach? Because it is easy to keep saying the gospel, the gospel. What is this gospel? Because understanding what the gospel is will then help us to hold on even much and much more to the promises of God. Knowing what the gospel is will help us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Look at your Bible, verse number
18.
Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppresses the truth. Church, when you read that verse,
how about that verse, Ina?
You can sense, you can hear bad news outside the gospel. You can hear a sense that God is actually in some way angry with people. People are unrighteous and God is angry when He looks upon them. But if Paul is eager to preach the gospel, that is what he says in verse 15. I'm eager to preach the gospel. So if Paul is eager to preach the gospel, Paul should then be a messenger of a loving God. He must be bringing a message of hope to a people under the holy wrath of God. He cannot be coming to these people bringing a message of condemnation. But he's bringing a message of hope. Listen to him. In Romans chapter number 10, verse
11.
He says there, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be put to shame. Anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will not go through this condemnation of God, will not suffer this hand of an angry God. So Paul is coming to preach a message with a sole purpose to tell the people that if you believe in Christ, if you believe the message that I'm bringing, you will be snatched from the garbage of sin. You will be snatched under the condemnation of the wrath of God. And then God will take you and you'll be with Him in His heavenly places. So church, the gospel is a message in contrary to a message of condemnation. The gospel is an answer to verse 18. Verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed against all people. But the gospel must be then an answer to that. So the gospel is the good news of reconciliation with God. It is the good news that someone else died on our stead so that we may be reconciled with God, so that the wrath of God is absorbed from us. The gospel is the message of the cross. The message of the cross which proclaims that God is holy and we are sinners. It is a message that says God is righteous and we are rebels. It is a gospel that says, it is a message that says we need then to be reconciled with God, and it is possible through Jesus Christ. The gospel is the message that tells us that we need to bow before this holy God and obtain the gift of eternal life. The gospel is the message of, is the good news that says we need to come to Jesus in faith, for He alone can save sinners. So church, the gospel is not your testimony. It is not the testimony that you bring. It can be your testimony to others that you are saved, but it is not your story in other words. What I'm trying to say is, we are not called to give our testimony and replace the gospel. We can bring our testimony to end up bringing the gospel, but our testimony must not replace the gospel. Why? Sinners cannot be saved because of our testimony. People, by hearing that your brain tumor was cured, cannot be saved. Of course, we praise the Lord for the brain tumor that is cured. But remember, everybody's got a story. But those stories cannot penetrate through the stony hearts of men. Only the gospel, the good news, can penetrate through the stony hearts of men. Praise the Lord for all that He has done for us. But there is just one story. A story that saves men. The Bible says about the story, for God so loved the world that He gave with His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in Him may not perish but have eternal life. That is the gospel. God is love. God takes it upon Himself to bring His Son. God sent His Son so that His Son may die on the cross and reunite God and man together. The gospel is not your story. It is the story of Jesus. The story of His birth. He's coming into this world. His life in this world. His death on this world. His resurrection in this world. His ascension unto glory. His future coming. The gospel is the story of Jesus. So, we take ourselves out of the equation when we share the gospel. We preach the story of Christ. Our stories may be good, but they are not amazing stories. There is one amazing story. Man who came into this world, born of a virgin, lived under the law, kept the law, died for sinners and the sins that he did not commit, raised himself from the dead, raised himself, ascend unto heaven, giving people spiritual gifts, coming again to reap the harvest. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians verse 4-6, chapter number 4. Verse 5 and 6. Listen to what Paul says. For what we proclaim, what we preach, is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. Jesus, we preach him as Lord, with ourselves as servants of Jesus Christ's sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, that God has shone his light in our hearts. That God has given us knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. What is Paul saying? The God who said, let there be light. He's the only one who can say, let there be light in our darkened hearts. Therefore, he's the only one who can say, let there be light in other person's darkened heart, not my story, his story. Only God can speak life into us. Our job is to preach the gospel. When we preach the gospel, when we tell the world of the good news, only then sinful men will fly out of Hades, will fly out of their way unto hell and come to be on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is eager to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Because this good news unites a sinful man and a holy God. It is this good news that takes a sinner and makes a sinner a saint. This good news brings God and man together. So Paul says, regardless of the situation, I'm eager then to preach the good news. I'm eager to tell people there is God who saves. So church, this good news should be then the primary reason we hold on to Christ. The reason why we hold on to Christ is not because he has blessed us with cars and houses and wives and children and whatsoever. It is because he died for us on the cross. Remember, Christ has not promised to give each and every one of us all the good things in this world. He can give, but doesn't mean each and every one of us will get. However, he has promised that whosoever believes, regardless of who the person is, that person can be saved. Deadly. Dead question. What does the gospel achieve when preached? When the gospel is proclaimed, what does it do to those who believe, those who listen to it? And how is that achieved? Look at verse 16 again. Paul says, this gospel, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also the Gentile. Please notice two things. Firstly, the gospel breaks the strongholds of sin and Satan in the heart of men. Do you sense something of power there? The gospel breaks the strongholds of sin and Satan in our hearts. Paul says it is the power of God. Please notice. Read your verse carefully. It doesn't say it is the power God gave to man so that man can have power. No, it is the power of God. It remains God's power. In other words, this power is only used by God to regenerate, we'll get to that, man. This power. The gospel. Let us continue. Paul says it is the power of God. In other words, the gospel, this good news, does not tell of the power of God. It is the power of God. So when you sit and listen to the gospel, we are not listening to hear something of power. Hear something of power. No, we are not sitting to hear something of power. But we are sitting to feel something of power. Do you get that? Is the power of God. It doesn't tell of the power, it is the power. The gospel takes away the guilt of man. It penetrates the stony hearts of men, as I was saying. It unchains the chains of men, the chains which are stuck to men. The chains of all ungodliness and wickedness of this life. It frees men from the bondage of sin. But the second thing, the gospel caused immediate salvation when believed. Immediately when you believe, you receive a new life. Do you sense something of power there? A change from an old life to a new life. Something of old is passing away. Behold, something new is beginning. The gospel, when believed, gives you a new life. It gives you salvation immediately. Paul says it is power for God unto salvation. Not just power. Not power to display miracles. Not power to turn cars around. Not power to make people fall. It is the power for salvation. If you fall and you come back from your falling, you are still not saved. You have not received the power of the gospel. Gospel is the power for salvation. Have you received the power? That is the question. In other words, have you believed the gospel? The gospel alone takes the guilt of sin and frees us from the guilt of sin that we suffer all our lives. It gives freedom and peace. It gives hope and assurance. Those are the two main reasons why Paul is not ashamed of this good news of the cross. Two main reasons why we should hold on to the cross. The gospel breaks strongholds. The gospel gives us a new life. Paul is therefore then said, church saying, in the preaching of the gospel, then God brings men, women, children unto the right relationship with Him. So, unlike that powerful military force of the Romans, the gospel alone is powerful because it changes lives. Unlike the military forces of Rome, the gospel does not have limitations. The military forces of Rome can only guard Rome. The gospel goes out to the world, and it melts the hearts of men. It is God's power to save both the Jew and the Gentile. It is God's power to unite enemies and make them one new man. It is the power of God to make sure that there is no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. It is the power of God that has united us as a church. Some are from Zimbabwe, Malawi, South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, Zambia, and nowhere where we know, but we are united because of the gospel. It has an uniting power. That's what Paul is saying. It unites us to God. We become one. It breaks enmity between men. It is the saving power of God. So Paul Church is saying the gospel is the only revealed power that God has ever given to men. So church, the primary need of every person here, the primary need of any person out there, is the gospel. Primary need. Good. We have needs. But there is a primary need. We need jobs. We need peace. We need food. We need joy. We need whatever we need. God provides. That is the primary need. The gospel. You can have everything else. You don't have the gospel. You have nothing. The gospel is the only way in which one can be set free from spiritual bondage. The gospel unites us with God. It redeems us from our sin. The gospel is the only means by which one is reconciled to God through believing in Jesus Christ. Church, please notice. In other words, sin is powerful. It needs power. And only that power is the gospel. You can take people to rehab. You can take people to stay in the mountain for days. You can take people back to the Garden of Eden. Sin will reign in their mortal body. Nothing of this world can cure men from sin. There are lots of self-help things promoted on TV. Do this and do that, you will be fine. That is good. But those things does not have the power to overcome sin. Some people will tell you, believe in yourself. Church, you can believe in yourself as much as you want. There is no power there. Only sin is there.
inside this man. Inside you. We need something outside of you to help you. Only the gospel has the power to eradicate sin and all the effects of sin in our lives. So if we care about what Jesus cares about, if we care for the lost, we will preach the gospel, we will hold on to the gospel. Man needs something powerful. Man needs the gospel. You need the gospel. But above all, we are entrusted with the gospel. So we need to go and proclaim the gospel. We need to speak like Paul, I am eager to preach the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Do you know how to know if a pastor has power? You hear these days the pastor has got power. You know how to test that? You don't go to the stadiums to see miracles, no? You don't go to churches where they make shows and do parades and no. If you go there, don't go for that. Listen, if the pastor preaches the gospel, make sure that the church as a whole lives in the light of the gospel. Does the people love one another? Do they care for one another? Do they have Christ? Do they have Christ? Do you know how to see if the pastor's got power? Do you know which church has got power? Pastor in the church that preaches the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God. Let's close. Take this with you.
Oh.
Let us feel a sense of obligation to preach the gospel as individual and as a church. Let's have a sense of obligation to live in the light of the gospel. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. In other words, then, let us live a life that is seen by many that we belong to Jesus. Let us share the gospel with others. Let us be eager to preach the gospel. Let us be confident in the gospel. In other words, let us trust in the gospel. Let us rely on this gospel. Let us depend on this gospel. Whatever is happening, trust in the gospel. Whatever we are lacking, trust in the gospel. The gospel alone
is
the power of God unto salvation. Some of you here may not be gifted into preaching, but all of us can invite someone to the gospel. If we don't invite someone to the gospel or a church that preaches the gospel, are we saying we are ashamed of the gospel? Are we saying we are ashamed of Christ? Church, I hope that we all here have believed this good news. If you have not believed this good news, that Christ came from heaven, He lived the good life for you, He died on the cross for you, He was risen so that you may be put right with God. You have not yet believed that. Oh, you have believed, but you have not given your life unto that kind of belief.
You can lift up your heart to God. You can pray to God. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that you are the Lord and you are the Savior. Have mercy on my soul. If you have believed this good news, you have trusted in this Jesus, you can still pray this morning. Lord Jesus, help me not to be ashamed of the gospel. May I continue to trust and to hold on to this gospel and unto you. Help me feel the power of the gospel. Continue to change me. Continue to give me patience, love, self-control, kindness, faithfulness. Wrap your arms around me. Save me, Lord, to those who are not saved. Those who are saved, keep me, Lord, in your gospel. Let's pray.